Titus chapter 2. Wow, it's under the blood.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. There was no hope for us. None whatsoever. But Jesus Christ, He is our hope. Man, you can't get enough of that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You go all day thinking about that and have a smile on your face.
Amen.
And you should.
Yeah.
Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. I will be starting in verse 11. I want to talk about the grace of God. I want to talk about the glorious gospel of grace that we have. And I want to see what he says here, because I believe that grace leads to holiness. And that's important for us to note. It's important for us to see and not forget. So we're gonna think upon these things here. This is Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee."
Amen.
Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we are so thankful today that you did suffer on our behalf, Lord. You suffered for sins once, and Lord, it is completely finished. Now, Lord, we have salvation in the grace that you have shed upon us. We're so thankful for your blood. We're thankful that you have pardoned our sins. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to live for you. We're grateful for your word that guides us. We ask that your spirit would be here today and that you would give us understanding and wisdom. Lord, for the ability on my behalf to speak, I just pray, Lord, that you would use today, that we would give ourselves to you, and that we would never forget what you've done for us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Grace. The gospel of grace. Look at what he says there. And he says, who gave himself for us. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. This is the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is an amazing thing. It's something that keeps us in awe. We think about this and it's just an amazing thing that Jesus Christ died for our sins. The just for the unjust. Just the thought that he would actually be concerned about us is an amazing thing. But that he actually made himself, he manifested himself in the flesh. He went through suffering. You know how when you cut yourself, it hurts? Well, he actually put himself through the suffering that you feel in order to save you from your sins. And let me tell you, that is grace. Because you did not deserve it. I did not do anything to merit this favor from God, but he just unconditionally favored us and gave his life to save us from our sins. This is the gospel of grace. It's an amazing gospel. It's a gospel that you can preach to anybody. It's a gospel. It's not only for a certain peculiar set of people. It's not something that only a few are given the chance. No, it's gospel of grace, because it's not about your works. It's not about the family that you were born into. It's about what Jesus Christ did. And this is the grace that we praise God for. This is the grace that we're so grateful for, the gospel of grace that we have. You know what he says there in verse 11? He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation." That's what the grace of God did. It brought salvation. Again, outside of grace, there is no salvation. Outside of grace, there is no hope. There is no hope. If you are trusting in your works today, you need to give up.
Amen.
That just comes down to pride. If you think it's about what you can do and how much you can do, you know what's going to happen. If you do succeed, you're going to be boasting in your own works. But in heaven, there is no boasting in your own self. In heaven, everybody's boasting on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Wow, isn't this great? It appeared to you. It appeared to me. And I'm grateful for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And that's what we do here. We do want to remember Jesus Christ. We do want to lift His name up and praise Him for the grace that He brought us. We never want to forget that. But look at what He says in the next verse. It tells us that this grace teaches us something. He says, this grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, and it teaches us. What does it teach us? Does it teach us that we can continue living in our sin and we're free to do whatever we want? That's not what it teaches us.
Amen.
It says that the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world.
Amen.
The grace of God teaches us how we should live. And it's not a life filled with our own desires. No, He says it teaches us to deny ungodliness. You know, Jesus said, hey, you know what you're going to have to do is take up your cross. You're going to have to deny yourself. Because the grace of God is teaching you to deny yourself. The grace of God brings salvation, but it also brings transformation.
Amen.
And that's what was mentioned in the song, right? My life is different now. It's not the same. I'm not that same person before because the grace of God has appeared to me. It's done something in me. It's transformed my life and I'm not the same.
Amen.
Because the grace of God doesn't just bring you salvation. It brings transformation in your life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It transforms you into a holy people. Right? Isn't that what He says? He says there, He says that it redeems us and He purifies unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These are a strange group of people that have received the grace of God and now their life is transformed where they desire, their interest is good works. That's what they love.
Amen.
That's a peculiar set of people. It has an effect on how you live your life.
Amen.
That's what grace does. Grace has an effect on how you live your life. And the Bible is clear that grace does not remove our need for holiness. It compels us to be holy. And it's a strange thing that the doctrine of grace could cause so much confusion where people are doing the exact opposite of what grace is supposed to teach you. Because Paul found this in his day, is there the danger of misunderstanding grace as a permission to live however you please. Because that is not what grace stands for. That's not what grace is about. And anybody who teaches that that's what grace gives you in your life is wrong. We would call him a false prophet. Grace is not just a free pass to heaven where now you can do whatever you want. No, it teaches you to deny sin. How can grace cause you to desire holiness? A few things I was thinking about, because this is what grace teaches, right? It teaches us to deny ungodliness. It teaches us to desire holiness. Well, first of all, because grace works internally, what grace does is it makes a new creature. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Grace, when it comes into your life, it actually transforms you from the inside out and it makes your desires different. You should have different desires when you're saved. Your desires should be different. You should desire to be like Christ. It opens your eyes. Not only does it actually transforms you, I think it opens your eyes to God's beauty. In other words, when you experience grace, you see how much God loved you. You see what God did for you. You think about the suffering that He went through for you. And that makes you see Him in a different light. You don't hate God anymore. You don't want to get out from under Him. You want to be like Him. Because His beauty is manifested to you. You're in awe of Him.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. And so, this should be what grace is doing and effectually causing in your life. A walk of holiness. A separation from yourself. A separation from the world. A separation from sin. And you are walking in holiness, in godliness, in righteousness with God. Amen. That's what grace is supposed to be teaching us in our life. And I think this is a lifelong thing. I don't think this is something you end, right? I think this is a pursuit of holiness that doesn't end until the day you die.
Right.
Amen. It's not like you've accomplished it. You've gotten there. I don't know if anybody feels that way. Hopefully not, but I think sometimes we might feel that way. Oh yeah, I'm good now. I'm good enough. No, you're not good enough. You should be continuing searching holiness and righteousness and denying ungodly lusts.
Amen.
This should be a desire because of the grace that is in you. You should be seeking after it. And there's so much. I think we are so full of worldly desires and lusts and just flesh. I mean, it's just so seeped in us that it is going to take a lifetime of us being transformed.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think the obsession with food is, to me, that's just some area that we're gonna probably have to fight the rest of our life. But the obsession with food, really, it's culturally accepted so much that I don't think we see it as a spiritual problem. We don't think of it as a spiritual issue that we're so obsessed with food, but I think God might actually think it's a real spiritual issue.
Amen.
We're so obsessed with food. We're not even finished eating lunch and we're talking about what we're going to eat with dinner.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? We're all there taking pictures of what's on our plate. Some of you don't even have time to take pictures of what's on your plate. It's gone. We love food. Could it be that this is a spiritual issue and God is not pleased with that just being on our mind all the time?
Amen.
Maybe He wants us to practice some self-control in this area. Maybe He wants us to even fast and desire Him with all of our life and even put thoughts of food aside.
Yeah, amen.
Maybe He wants us to hunger and to thirst after righteousness.
Amen.
More than after the food that our flesh lusts after.
Amen.
Well, this is what the grace of God is teaching us. The grace of God is teaching us you have a whole lot of desires in that flesh of yours that need to be purged out, and God wants to clean you from them, and His grace is what's going to enable you to do that.
Amen.
Because His grace is going to teach you to deny those things and to walk closer and holy and godly like He wants you to. Paul did, I think, encounter this type of thinking, or at least he forewarns that this was going to be what's going to happen later on. You go to Romans, let's turn there, Romans chapter 6. We go to Romans chapter 6 and we see the way he speaks here, and we got to remember, grace does not excuse sin. Grace is not something that gives you permission to live in sin and excuse you of your sin. It frees you from sin.
Amen.
In other words, it makes you so that you don't want to sin anymore and you live without sin. That's what you're supposed to. That's what the goal is of grace. It's to get you to stop sinning.
True.
That's the goal.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6. If you read the whole chapter, I'm sure you're going to be convicted. It'll convict you every time. But look at what he says in verse 1. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?"
Amen.
What are we going to say that, well, if we continue in sin, grace is going to abound? I mean, we've got grace, right? If we've got grace, if we've got that grace of love of God that is given to us unconditionally, it's not based on our works. It's not based on how good we are or how bad we are. It's just God's grace. Then can't we just live in sin? No, that is not the right way of thinking.
Amen.
That is not how God wants you to think. That is incorrect. God wants you to desire to break yourself from the power of sin. And he manifests as he says, you are dead to sin. That's what happened when grace came into your life. If you're saved, born again, what happened was you died to sin. You died to yourself. And now you're a new creature and you should be living for God.
Amen.
I mean, can you imagine being freed from prison? You're freed from prison and you walk out and your first thing is to go right back, turn around and stay in your cell. But that's kind of what people get the idea of. Oh, we're free from sin, but we're still living in it. We just love it. We just enjoy it. We still want to be in it. What's going on? There's something wrong there. You have been freed from sin. You have died to sin. And guess what? Sin doesn't have dominion over you anymore.
Right.
I don't know what makes us think that it does. But it's not true.
Amen.
I think we excuse our sin way too much.
Amen.
We use grace as a cover for disobedience. You ever consider that your trust in the forgiveness that God gives you makes you more confident in continuing to sin?
Amen.
Your trust. You trust that God forgave you of your sins, do you not?
Amen.
You trust that Jesus Christ, His blood, has cleansed you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And from all sin. He has forgiven you and you're forgiven.
Yes.
Amen.
Can that not sometimes make you think that it's not that big of a deal?
Amen.
If you sin? I mean, you're going to be forgiven, right? This could be something we deal with and we don't even know it. We don't even take a moment to think about it. But the trust that we have in the forgiveness of sins and this gospel of grace, which is completely true, that God through His grace saves us and forgives us, we actually take advantage of that and we sin.
Amen.
Because, well, God's expected to forgive us, isn't He? Why should I control my anger? I'm already forgiven of it. And so sometimes we don't go to any length to overcome the sin that is so easily besetting us. Because we know we're forgiven. And that should not be the walk of a Christian. A Christian should not be just feel fine with his sin. A Christian should know my sin is not right and I want to change.
Amen.
And I will fight to change. And if I have anger issues, I know that Jesus was not did not condone that kind of actions. And so I'm going to change because I know who Jesus is.
Amen. Right.
You ever wonder if those who believe that they can lose their salvation seek godliness more than you do?
Amen.
Those that think they can lose their salvation, well, they worry about their sin. Oh, and they strive, and they strive to do, and they strive to work, and they strive to do their very best. But you and I, we know that our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ and it's not about our works. And so, do we not strive for holiness like we should? I think that's a dangerous thing that you and I can fall into.
Amen.
Because grace is supposed to be the opposite. Grace is supposed to be the one that teaches you and I to live in holiness. We should desire to live holy more than those that think they can lose their salvation. Those that are trying to get into heaven by their own works, we should outdo them because we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and we want to serve Him. That should be the reality. And yet I think our mind has been affected because we take advantage of the grace of God and we enjoy living in our sin. We don't care enough to really truly try to fight our sin like we should.
Amen.
I think that's something we need to consider.
Amen.
You know that the grace of God teaches us this because this is God's purpose for us. This is God's purpose for us. God's purpose for us from the beginning, from before the foundation of the world, He wanted to create a people that would serve Him, that would love Him, that were peculiar, they were different, they were zealous of good works. And He prepared good works for them. He did that for us so that we would live in those things. And all this comes through grace. Grace is the one that teaches us to be holy. And holiness is what He has prepared for us.
Amen.
That is what He wants for us. That's God's purpose for us. I'll go to 1 Peter because I think it's worth reading. It's worth looking at. This is what He teaches. This is what He says. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's hear this. Let's listen to this. And let it resound in our ears. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16 says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy."
Yeah.
This is written, be holy. For I am holy. If this is our Lord, this is our Savior, this is our God, He's holy. And if you are in awe of Him as you should be, you should desire to be like Him.
Amen.
And you should strive for that. Be ye holy. Wow.
Amen.
You know, God's grace doesn't lower His standards of holiness.
Right.
And that's the point. God's grace isn't lowering His standards of holiness.
Amen.
Hebrews actually tells us that patience and holiness without which no man can see God. Holiness is necessary. Holiness is something that God wants and requires. Holiness is something that He has purposed for you. And His grace doesn't lower His standard. His grace doesn't demean it. His grace is actually what He's given us to enable us to be holy. It's His grace. And it works in different ways. But this is our calling. Our calling is to be holy. And I think we should stop giving up on holiness because we're not perfect.
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't that an easy go-to excuse?
Amen, right?
Oh, well. I'm not perfect. I mean, we're not perfect. We can never be perfect. I mean, we don't even try. Stop giving up on holiness just because you're not perfect.
Amen.
I think we need to look at it as a direction and we need to seek after it. You see, God has given us a direction. He's got a purpose for you. He wants you to be this. He is holy and you should want to be holy.
Amen.
And that should be a direction that you seek after your whole life.
Amen.
Help us.
Are you intentionally pursuing a life that pleases God? That's what we should be.
Amen.
And grace equips us to be doing so.
Amen.
Oh, but we can't be perfect. And that's a good excuse that comes into our mind.
Yeah,
it does.
How about just thinking lusting after women is not what God wants?
Amen.
Jesus does not take pleasure in any man lusting after a woman that's not his wife.
Amen.
Oh, but she's the one that's revealing all of her breasts. That's not an excuse for you to continue in your lust.
Right. Amen.
Oh, but she's the one. She, that lady over there, she's the one wearing a bikini. It doesn't matter. You're the one that should be controlling your lust. Amen. Now, this does not excuse any of these women that dress in a way to be lusted after. Amen. Do not do that. If you're a Christian woman, you should not be dressing in a way to make a man lust after you. You should cover up. And men, you need to be able to take control of your thoughts and say, I'm not going to lust after women. This is what the grace of God teaches you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, but I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be able to do that. Stop giving excuses. Yeah. You can.
Amen.
As it's been said before and should be said again, right? You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest on your head.
Amen.
And the truth is, we don't get over our lusts probably mostly because we excuse them.
Amen. Wow. Yeah.
Because we don't truly have the desire to get rid of them.
Amen.
And so we're living in lust. We're acting like it's okay to do. We can do it. And some men are watching pornography and they think, well, it's just part of me. It's something I do. And you think, I can't stop it. There's no way for me to stop it. That's a lie.
Amen.
That's a lie, and I'm gonna say that's a lie because you wanna continue in that sin.
Right.
And you gotta stop it.
Amen.
And I'll show you it's a lie. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm telling you this is a lie. When you think, no, I can't. I can't stop. There's no way for me to give up this. This is too hard for me. It's just, there's no way. I've tried before and I can't stop. No, that's a lie. You can stop.
Amen.
And that's why I say holiness is something that you need to pursue after. It should be a desire that you have, that you want. Because the most overcoming sins in our life is because we truly want to do them.
Amen.
Deep down inside, we're still desiring that more than we desire to please God.
Amen.
And it's true. It's true. We're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Amen.
But we've got the grace of God in our life. That needs to be switched.
Amen.
That needs to change. We need to love God and pursue after Him.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Look at what he says. He says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
Amen.
But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Listen to what he says. He says, there's a way for you to escape.
Amen.
No, that's not true. When you say, I can't stop it, there's no way for me to stop. That's not true. God made sure that you're not tempted more than you're able to.
Amen.
You can stop.
Amen.
You can get out of that sin. You can. But do you want to? I think that's where we have to come first. That's where our first look has to be. Do we really want to? And you should.
Amen.
You should. You should. You should be dwelling on the grace of God so much that you are in awe of Him, that your desires change.
Amen.
And you want to stop those sins that are deep rooted in you.
Yes.
Even things like being a busybody or a gossip.
Amen.
I mean, we have all kinds of, oh no, I'm just looking for prayer requests. I'm just very caring. I'm very caring. Be careful. You might just be a gossip. And you might just need to stop because God might not be pleased with you being always in somebody else's business. Maybe He wants you to get your business right.
Amen.
And fix your life up. And stop being worried about everybody else. And that's another thing about holiness. Is holiness, you should be caring about what you are presented to before God.
Amen.
Not how everybody else is looking.
Right.
Always worried about, oh, they're not wearing the right thing. Oh, they're not doing the right thing. Oh, they're... Who cares about what they're doing? First focus on what you're doing.
Right. Amen.
Seek holiness for yourself.
Amen.
Holiness is God's purpose for us. And this is what Jesus wants in our life. Grace, you think about grace, and what it does is it produces fruit. It doesn't produce a license to sin. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another."
Amen.
You've been called into liberty. And you know, grace sets us free from the law's condemnation, right? We're free. We sing, "There is therefore now no condemnation." There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, we love that. But that doesn't mean you have a license to sin.
Right, amen. Amen.
You're not free. You're not free. It doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. That's not what this freedom is talking about. That's not what this liberty is talking about. Okay, you're not condemned because of your sin, because Jesus Christ saved you, but you are called unto a greater purpose, and that's to live holy for God.
Amen.
True grace leads to spiritual fruit, not spiritual laziness. And that's something I think we just get to a point where we feel it's good enough. And it makes us complacent. We're fine. But no, we're not.
Right. Amen.
You should continue that pursuit of holiness. You should continue to find out what God wants, what He wants from you, what He wants you to change.
Amen.
This should be the desire of our life.
Amen.
Because of God's grace. The grace of God is what leads us
Amen.
To a holy life.
Amen.
And there's a danger of misusing grace. And it's an amazing thing that this is taken and it's used for the wrong purposes. It's used for our own desires, to fulfill our own lusts. And even we've got preachers and we've got churches that are preaching the grace of God, but they're not doing it for the intent of being holy, but they've perverted the grace of God. Let's go to Jude. Jude only has one chapter, but Jude chapter 1. And you know, there's a lot of different verses or passages that would come to mind when we're talking about that, about this. But Jude 1 verse 4. Says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." These are men who are creeping into the church, he says. And they're turning the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into something shameful.
Yeah.
And this is what they're doing. And they're gaining ground. And they're actually becoming false teachers that are teaching the grace of God to be something that it's not supposed to be. And it's a shame. And I do not think God is happy about it. We have to praise God because He is long-suffering, because I think God would have taken out a whole lot of those that call themselves Christians a long time ago because of what they're doing to His grace. I think we need to be aware and beware of preachers who teach you that it's not a big deal to live in sin.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
I do believe that you need to worry about your own holiness. Right? I believe that you need to stop being so focused on everybody else and what they're all doing. You need to be focused on your own holiness. But God did send preachers out, and He wants them to preach the truth. And they're supposed to preach holiness. And when they pervert the Word of God, and they start using their church to marry two men, that's wrong.
Yeah, amen.
And God is not, does not approve of that.
Amen.
That is something wicked that God is not in favor of, and you need to beware of this type of ministry.
Amen.
But it's going on all over.
Right.
And it's because it's hard to preach against sin, because preaching against sin, it's going to cause problems. It's going to stir up stuff. You know, I mean, if you want a nice big church, it'll probably be easier if you don't preach against sin. So there is a draw to it.
Right.
And also, I mean, it just, and like I said, you could go on looking at what these false prophets do, and they take advantage of people, and they'll say whatever they need to say just so that they can get some money from them. It's true, and it's sad. Paul tells Titus, he says, this is what I want you to preach. This is what I want you to teach, he says, and I want you to speak it, and I want you to exhort it, and I want you to rebuke it with all authority, and let no man despise you. I want you to know that the grace of God teaches men to deny ungodly lust. To live righteously, to live soberly and godly. And this is what you should be preaching and teaching.
Amen.
And I think we need to beware. Beware of false teaching.
Amen.
And men that think that it's not a big deal. And they preach things and they just make it seem like it's not a big deal. Well, God, well, Jesus turned water into wine. Well, I'm trying to soften the drinking problems. Why are we trying to soften the drinking problems? Listen, drinking and getting drunk is a real problem. We should not be making it out like it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. And you should abstain from it. And the best way for you to never get drunk, guess what? Never drink.
Right.
I would go to the extent that I think it's sad and dangerous that there's so many preachers that are preaching and advocating for Christmas. And they have it in their churches. I do think this is a dangerous thing. I think Christmas is something that God does not like. Hates easily. You know why? I mean, just for starters, it is a bunch of lies. There are so many lies mixed up in Christmas, and you know God hates lies. He just hates it. In fact, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
Jesus is truth. And you know what he hates? He hates lies. He says that the devil is the father of lies. You know, Jesus was not born December 25th. And anybody who tells you that Jesus was born December 25th is lying to you. And kids, let me be frank. There is no Santa Claus. And any parent who tells you that Santa Claus is coming down from a chimney and giving you presents is lying to you. And God hates those lies. We didn't learn these things from the apostles. No. The apostle Paul didn't tell us, hey, go cut up a tree and put it in your house and decorate it. That's not what the apostle Paul told us or the apostle Peter told us. No, in fact, the apostle Peter tells us, abstain, beware of idolatry. All three of them said, flee idolatry. Run from it. We didn't learn this from Paul. No, Jeremiah 10 actually tells us, don't learn the way of the heathens. Grace teaches you to learn the way of God. In Jeremiah, he says, don't learn the way of heathens. What do? They cut a tree and they nail it up and fasten it up and they deck it with silver and gold. That just sounds too much like heathenism to me. Why are we pursuing after this?
True. Amen.
Doesn't he say in both New Testament and Old Testament that we need to flee idolatry?
Yes, he does.
What is idolatry? I mean, idolatry in its base root, it says that you will not make any graven image and bow down to it. Do you maybe have a baby Jesus sitting out in a manger in front of your house? I hope not. But if you do, I don't think God likes that. I don't think God approves of that.
Amen.
In Mexico, I remember in school, they would have that, the baby Jesus out there, and they'd make all the kids come by and kneel down and kiss it. Lena accidentally did it once and she didn't know what she was doing. I think she's repented of it though. But I don't think God takes these things lightly. I think these are meaningful to Him. And in the midst of a world that is full of sinful lusts, He's expecting some people that He saved by His grace, that He transformed to new life, to be different.
Amen.
And it's sad if we've lost that desire.
Amen.
If we've stopped pursuing holiness.
Amen.
It's a shame on us.
Amen.
Because the grace of God teaches us how we're supposed to live.
Amen.
It affects the way we live. And we should be living for God and not for us.
Amen.
And it starts with denying our own selves.
Amen.
Deny your own selves. Say no to what you want.
Yeah.
Oh, all that emotion that you have for this sin, say no.
Amen.
I know your flesh really desires to look after that woman, but you need to learn to say no.
Amen.
And deny yourself. I know you have a whole lot of things that sin is filled up in your mind, but God has given you the grace, and that grace actually has given you power. It's liberated you from sin. You don't have to live in it. Because you have God's Spirit living in you.
Amen.
Amen.
So if you are living in it, I think it mostly comes down to what your true desire is. And our true desire should be the pursuit of holiness, because we want to love God, please God, and be like God.
Amen. Amen.
And this is what Titus tells us. I'll read that to end. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where our eyes should be. We should be focused on Jesus Christ and His appearing again. And that should guide us and lead us to live a life of holiness for Him.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and finish with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we are thankful for what You have done on the cross to save us from our sins. We are appreciative and we recognize Your work. It is You who have saved us. It is You who have transformed our lives.
Amen.
Lord, we are so grateful for it. We do ask You, Lord, that You would help us in our times of need. We ask that You would make that way of escape clear so that we can be free from our sin, that we can overcome temptation. We want to bring all of our imaginations under Your subjects, Lord. We want to think upon right things, upon true things, upon just things. Lord, we want to live righteously, and we ask that You would help us to it. If we've forgot this way, if we've put it off, Lord,
yes,
we ask for forgiveness, and we ask that You would renew that vision in our minds so that we can desire to be like You.
Amen.
Lord, if there's somebody here that is not saved, if they do not know about saving grace, I pray, Lord, that You would open their eyes, that they would know that there is a way of salvation, of forgiveness of sins, and that comes through Your work on the cross. I pray, Lord, that You would help them to understand that. Lord Jesus, we do ask that You'd use the rest of our day and teach us and guide us and watch over us as we go and come back. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have meetings tonight, 7:00.